at the very first chapter of the Bible, which kind of takes us to an explanation of why God created the world. And in any given religion or any worldview, there are four basic questions that are always going to be answered. One is, where do we come from? Two is, why are we here? How do we define right and wrong? And then, where do we go after we die? Those are fundamental questions that every religion is going to have a view on. Every worldview will have an answer for. So last week, we looked at the first question. We saw the explanation that God offers for why we're here, where we came from. And so now we're going to move on into the second question, which is, why are we here? Why did God create the world? Because remember, we're trying to understand what's the point of the Bible is to offer us an explanation, an understanding of why we're here and what God is up to. And also that gets at a question of who is God, right? When you understand God has created, and all that has been revealed in those first few chapters, it's very important for us to understand who is God. And so one question that naturally comes up when you ask, why were we created? I don't know if you've ever heard this, but possibly you have. I did once as a Sunday school teacher who would say, well, God created us because he was lonely. He's in all of heaven, and he needed some company, and so that's why he created us. So it's a nice, makes you feel really important, doesn't it? It makes you feel really needed. But is it true? Was God lonely, and so he created us to fulfill some lack or some deficiency in his own character? Is that why we're here? So understanding God is related to the question of understanding who we are and why we're here. So this question is not irrelevant when you ask the question, why are we here? Why is Ernie here? Why is Todd here? Why is David here? And so this is critical for us to really think about. So we're gonna think together for just a few minutes. And I'm going to ask you to consider two questions. If you only had Genesis 1 through 2, two or three, whatever it was that we talked about last week, if you only had that first unit of thought to answer the question, how would you answer it? Both of these questions. What is Genesis 1 to 2, whatever it is? Let me see. 2, 3. If that's the unit of thought that you had, how would you answer why we're here, why God created the world, and who is God? So this is a group effort. I'm going to have to use that. You have homework. This is a... So we are doing a small group discussion on chapter 1 of what can we learn from chapter 1 about the nature of God and why God created the world. Genesis chapter 1 through Genesis 2, 3. So right now we're broken up into small groups, and we're going to look at, for about 7 or 8 minutes... what Genesis 1 to 2, 3 tells us about the nature of God and about why God might have created the world.
So we started by talking about who is God and trying to describe him, his personality.
Okay.
And we had some really good, just all based on Genesis 1. God's nature is to be creative, because he did create, you know, us, heaven and earth, planets.
Okay.
And he's orderly. He created everything in the order that it was needed, you know,
okay.
Light, dark, plants, then animals, then man. So
God
orderly.
Is an orderly person, so he's creative, he's orderly.
Yep.
Okay.
He's moral.
He's moral.
Because he said it was good.
Okay. There's goodness. All
yeah.
right.
And later on, you know, yep. he does say what was bad, but yep. he's saying what is good.
Okay.
In Genesis 1. He likes to grow things. He kept saying, grow and multiply, yep. be fruitful and multiply.
All right.
And last but not least, he likes us.
He likes. Why do you say that?
Well, because he wants us to have a relationship with him, and he wants
all right.
us to be happy. He wants...
Okay.
You know, he yeah. did all this for good.
Yeah. Okay. There's goodness, there's relationship.
Yep.
Those are good words. Anything else?
Well, we were not able to come up with why.
Okay.
Based on Genesis 1.
All right.
We could guess why, but we based on Genesis 1. We
want to take a guess?
I just blanked.
If you didn't get
oh,
there.
Oh, yeah, for his glory.
For his glory. Okay. All right. Okay.
That's it.
All right. Very good. How about you guys?
So,
Radovan's the appointed scribe.
I wasn't the scribe. I was appointed the talker.
Oh, the spokesman. Okay.
We had for answer one, he is by his nature a creator.
Okay. It's like creative, right? Yeah. All right. Very similar.
He speaks things into being.
He talks a lot.
Yep. He's organized.
Yeah.
And a god of order. He's meticulous.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
He is
thoughtful slash mindful of the needs of his creation.
Okay.
Thoughtful slash mindful of the needs of his creation.
All right.
One other thing I was thinking as Ryan was reading was he gave us means for measurement, too. You know, measuring time and
that's right.
Which was interesting to me as it was great while he was reading.
Right, that's what the planets were for, sun and moon, in order for seasons.
Yeah, measure seasons,
that's right.
Time,
that's
and
right.
stuff like that, so
right.
it gave us a way of measurement.
All right.
And then for number two, it pleases him. We also said for his glory, but the real reason I took from it was...
So God created the world because it pleases him and for his glory, okay.
And for us. So we're at the end, so he, you know, basically all the things that we would need, he didn't create all that stuff beforehand. Man wouldn't be able to exist. So it's almost as he created the world for us, put us in it, everything's there and ready to go.
Okay.
And the question I asked was, why us, you know, to create all of this into being just so that we could, you know, go forth and
create a planet that's perfect for us to thrive on, right?
Correct.
Okay. Good. Good. Anything else?
Is
that it? Okay. All right. How about you guys?
So we were saying that God is good. He is
God is good.
Purpose.
He has purpose.
That he's powerful.
He's powerful.
He has power. Mm-hmm. He is orderly.
Okay.
And he has variety.
Okay. Similar to creativity and
So that he commanded. So whatever he said happened. So authority.
Okay. That's authority.
That he arranged time and created the evening and the morning and everything.
Okay. There's a time and rhythm.
Mm-hmm. And he did so for his pleasure to display his glory. Is that because he wanted to?
Okay, yeah.
And so, like what they said, thoughtful, he's thinking
right,
about us.
Right.
And that for good, for happiness, for taking part in the creation.
Is this number two now you're on?
Yeah.
Okay, for pleasure, for goodness, for happiness, okay. Anything else, is that it?
I think so.
Okay, all right, very good. And Aaron's the scribe and the spokesman.
The nature of God, you know, he said he was creator, good, orderly, powerful. He is spirit. He is life. He speaks life into existence.
Okay.
He's a caretaker.
Life.
He's generous. And for number two, he wanted his creation to be image bearers of himself.
Let me push pause for a second. Why did you say he's generous?
Because he... You know, all of this he's given to man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
he shares.
Right, he shares.
Okay,
exactly.
Very good, wonderful.
And so then, again, so he made the world for people. He was created in his image. He wanted goodness and order to everything because there was no form and or light.
Okay.
Everything made was from the goodness of God and a reflection of His glory and joy, and this pleased God.
Yeah, and it pleased him. Okay. Yeah, it's interesting. You hear repeated words. What did you hear that were repeated among almost all of you?
Yeah. Creative.
Creative.
Orderly.
What else?
Glory.
Yep, glory came in there, even though group number one says it's not in Genesis 1. What else? It might be, right? It's interesting you all arrived at that. So what else? What else did you hear?
Goodness, did we say that?
Goodness, yes. Goodness came out. And his pleasure or joy, variously used. Okay, anything else?
His glory.
We got glory. Yeah.
He loved the world.
His love?
Yeah.
Okay. What other words were repeated that you heard in all the groups?
Creative.
Yeah. Anything that we missed?
Powerful.
You heard powerful repeated? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, power was repeated.
Spoke the word.
He spoke. Yeah. Yeah, so, okay, there's a lot of things we can gather about the nature of God. He's, I think you guys said, did you say relational? Mm-hmm. Somebody said relational.
Yes. Relationship.
Okay, yeah, there's a relationship.
Wants us to have a relationship.
Yeah. Can I ask you why you said that? or do you remember?
Is that you?
Sarah, it's your fault. Why did you say that?
Because there's something different. When God creates man, they're made directly in his image.
Right.
He's given man authority, which is unique in his creation.
That's exactly right.
It's leading up, and then there's man. He wants us, this is where we got, that he likes us, because he wants us to be fruitful and to multiply. And I think that all of that together points back to him a relationship with us, which we can obviously see scripture.
Yeah, isn't speaking inherently relational? Mm. All right. I mean, some people who are alone do talk to themselves, but primarily speaking is relational, right? Yeah, John.
Had this epiphany. When we talk about creating God's image and stuff, all this stuff that we described, you know, we speak things kind of into being. So when we have a plan and we're designing something, we're organized, we're thoughtful, meticulous. I mean, that's how we've built civilizations. That's how we built technology.
Yeah.
When we create something, whether it's in our work, it pleases us to see that it was good and it worked out.
Okay.
I was just thinking, it's kind of interesting
that
we say those attributes. For us, it's kind of the same thing. We are creative beings.
Yeah,
we're thoughtful beings. We're organized. We like order. That's why we have laws
and
rules.
Right. Yeah, I love, Sarah, what you said. He likes us, right? I love that. That's wonderful. There's goodness. There's pleasantness. I heard joy coming out. Interesting you got all that from Genesis 1. You can, right? If you look, you can see there's a lot more there than you typically might pay attention to. And yet, there's lots of clues that help us understand who God is and give us a little pointer for why he created the world. Yeah, Reuben.
I don't think we spoke on continuance. You know, you can see that he wants this to continue by planting seeds.
Okay.
You know, and reproducing.
All right.
You know,
yeah,
this isn't like a still moment.
Yeah.
It's going to continue to flourish.
There was twice we have heard repeated multiply and fill.
Right.
He gave that command to animals to fill the oceans and to fill the land. Gave it to humans to fill the earth. Okay, so there is this continuation or perpetuation, whatever you want to call it. Okay, so I just in answering the second question, here's some things that I just sort of noted. Why did God create the world? Goodness, right? We talked about goodness and. That came up, I think, in every group. I just wanted to see if we got similar stuff. This is my little experiment. Blessing, right? You guys, we mentioned blessing. That was a repeated word. To fill the earth with his image. I don't know if we said that, but we got at it with people. Yeah, we did. Somebody did say it, okay? And then it pleased him. It made him happy, right? He enjoyed it. Do you get the impression that God is a begrudging creator? It's like, oh, man, I have to work today. All right, I'll just make some trees and plants and stuff. Is that what you get? That's not at all the feel. There's a sense of goodness that comes. Yes, Dad?
But he also never said, he never held anything back. He never said, but you guys better, I mean, when Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, yes. But at this point, he's just, it's all good.
Yeah, there's this clear sense of dominant goodness in the world.
Yeah.
And obviously, when you make something, doesn't it sort of reflect who you are? Right? And so when we ask, what's the nature of God? Were we created to fulfill some lack in him? Is he lonely? Is that part of what we're supposed to do, is provide companionship with God because he's lonely and deficient and needs it? Certainly he enjoys it. Sarah said it best. He likes us. That's great. But is that a deficiency, or is that an overflow of goodness, is my question. So Deb's got an answer.
I'm sorry, I'm interrupting again. But we, in verse 26, you know, then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. He's not alone.
That's right.
He's got the Trinity.
That's exactly right.
That is karma.
Where else can you see that? So let's talk about that for a second. Where else can you see it?
First verse,
what's it say?
God created heavens and earth. The earth was without form, void in darkness, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters.
That's right. Said, Spirit of God is right there in verse 1. He's not alone. That's right. And we could also jump into in our minds to John 1, which very similarly mirrors that. And who's mentioned in John 1, David Gonzalez?
The Word.
The Word. And didn't God do a lot of speaking? Right? He's a talker. Isn't that funny? It didn't land on me with such great emphasis until I was highlighting everywhere. And God said, 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 and I thought, wow, he talks a lot. It just struck me. But God is a God who speaks. It's pretty interesting. So we see his nature. We see characteristics of his nature that flow out of this little investigation in just the first chapter. So yes, he's relational. We see it. He's not alone. Even in the very beginning, he's not alone. He's relational in the fact that he created relational people. How many of you like being around people? Now, some of us to greater extents than others, right? We need our alone space, but we're built to need community at some level, right? When you want to, what is the worst punishment any prison can give to a person? Solitary confinement.
Yeah.
Now, some of you think, I would love to be in solitary confinement for just about 3 hours, and then you're done. I need to change something, right? That's an aspect of that communal, relational dynamic that is in the personality of who God is. Now, just pause for a second. Why are we doing this? Why are we spending all this time this morning looking at Genesis 1? What is Todd up to? What's the point of this class? Why are we doing this?
The purpose of God creating us.
Yeah, but why are we talking about this today in relationship to this class?
What's your message?
Remember, what's the point of the class? What's the title of it?
I forgot.
I've been so effective at communicating the title of this class. Does anybody remember? Okay, I'll make it easy for you. Boom. What is it? The unity of the Bible. So why are we spending time on this? Yeah, we got to figure out if God has given us some clues as to what he's up to. And remember last week, we need to pay attention to the order in which revelation is structured. Right, so we started at the beginning. We didn't jump to Revelation to understand why God created the world. He's revealed it to us in a particular way. And so if we want to get it, we got to start at the beginning and then see what kind of clues we get that unfolds. So the one thing that I find very interesting is something that we always miss. You did say glory. You didn't know why you said it. But I think intuitive, because many of you, Deb, you even said, it's not in chapter 1, but I think it's glory.
But that's what we felt.
Okay, so there's a connection.
Yeah.
Goodness. Goodness is a part of God's glory. Whether you knew it or not, it's related. Because when Moses said, here's something amazing. Moses asked the question, God, can you show me your glory? Do you remember that? Exodus 33 and 34. He says, please show me your glory. This is 33:18-19. He begs and he says, God, please show me your glory. And God responds by saying what? Radovan, read it next.
I will make all my goodness pass before
you. All your what? What did Moses ask to see? And what does God answer that question with? I'll show you my goodness. Isn't that weird? And okay, I'll make my goodness pass before you, and then I will proclaim what?
My name.
So God's glory is related to both his goodness and his name. Now, this is, I'm jumping a little bit ahead because goodness was all over chapter 1. It was everywhere. Almost on every day, something was good. And then when we get to day 6, when God created man, what did he say there? This is very good, right? This is good, very good. So everything's good and it's very good. And then I wondered if anybody would say glory. But there is a connection between God's glory and his name and his goodness. This, you need to hide away in the back of your head, because as we move through Scripture, you're going to see it again and again and again. This is going to be one of those themes, those related, unifying motifs for which God does everything that he does. Goodness and glory, those two are synonymous. How do I know they're synonymous? Because Moses said, can you show me your glory? I mean, your glory. And God says, I'll reveal my goodness by telling you my name, my personal name. Amazing, up to that point, that had never happened. God had never revealed his personal name. And you know what this means, right? If you've been around me for any time, you should know when you see Lord in all caps, what does that signify?
Yahweh.
What's that?
Yahweh,
that's right. In Hebrew, it's YHWH, four letters. Consonants were not used in ancient Hebrew. Vowels were not printed in ancient Hebrew. You got limited amount of space. Materials to write upon are very expensive. So in order to condense space, they only wrote consonants. Because you can try it someday. Go home, write your husband, wife, or kid a note and use only consonants. And you can read it. You can read it. So later, when the Hebrew language was falling out of use, in order that it would not be forgotten how to speak it, they used a system of pointing, meaning inserting the vowels above and below the consonants so that you can understand the pronunciation. So when you read Hebrews, all kinds of little jots and tittles and above and below the consonants, but that's why. As long ago, you only record consonants, and then later you go back and you add in the vowels. But the point is, God reveals his name, and it's connected to his glory. Now, another description, when we talk about God's glory, what do you think of when you think of glory? Let's just talk, dream a second, just for what's glory? If you were, okay, your daughter, your son, some relative who's unchurched says, what is God's glory? I don't get it. How would you answer? What would you say? It's a little tricky to answer, isn't it? But you know it. You do. It's hard to pull it together. But what would you say? When something's glorious, how do we use that word?
Amazing.
Okay, there's goodness connected to it. Yeah, what else? When you say something is glorious, what is it?
To praise God.
Okay, you're praising God. But let's talk about a thing. We use the word glory sometimes, don't we? Mm-hmm. How?
Genius sometimes.
Genius? Yeah. Okay, so intelligence, smart. All right, what else?
To me, I think...
Did anybody wake up this morning and walk out aside and think, this is glorious?
Beautiful.
Awesome. Yeah, there's a radiance, a brightness, a shining somehow. Whether that's a mental shining, is intelligence, or, right? Glory is a shining out of the beauty of God, which means it's a manifestation of his goodness. So the attractiveness of his character going out into the world, that's what glory is. It's a shining out of all of the goodness of his attributes. Because, yeah, Reuben.
So what if people don't like snow?
Then they wished to go to Florida. I mean, that's what I thought Deb was saying, right?
I had to throw that in there.
Sunrise, right? Everybody who hates the snow wakes up in the morning, what a glorious sunrise. That's a word, that's what we know what we mean. But why? It's a brightness, it's this shining. That's glory.
So it's God's attributes moving out away from himself. That's part of what glory is. So it's his goodness going public, as it were. Think of it like that. And so Moses asked this question. So I want you to think about how God created us, right? We are created in his image and in his likeness. And then what does he tell us? Back in Genesis chapter 1, after he created us, he blessed us and said,
multiply.
And?
Fill the world.
Fill the earth. And has it ever occurred to you that God is moving through that command, his glory, which we are now part of, out into the world, filling it? He wants his glory, his goodness, in us to fill the earth. And my question is, does that ever appear anywhere else in Scripture? If we're thinking, what is the unifying thread of Scripture? What is God up to in this world? He wants it filled with, and he tells us who carry his image into the world to go into all the world and fill it. So, there's a couple of points. What, Heather?
Oh, when he says go and preach to all the world.
Well, yeah, that's part of it too. That's a specific aspect of it. Because that's coming later. So we're in Genesis. You're going to have to wait a little while.
But you said, does he say it anywhere else?
Well, sorry. Yes. So here's a couple. We're connecting with glory. That's coming. So Heather's just jumping ahead of us. But that's fine. That's good. Keep thinking. But truly as I live, as the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. That's Numbers. This is God speaking to Moses saying, the earth will be filled with my glory. It will happen. Yes. Okay. Yeah.
And then Noah, when he recreates.
What in the world just happened? So
after Noah too, when he recreates, he tells him to go out and fill.
That's right. So that's a problem when we don't obey that command to fill God's glory, right? They moved throughout the earth, and then when they got to the Valley of Shinar, they stopped. And they said, you know what? We need to build a tower, or else our name. Look it up. It says we won't have a name for ourselves unless we build a tower. So previously, they had agreed that God's name was good. And then they decided, we don't want to keep up with that. So let's stop and glorify our own name. Let's stop going out and glorifying God through all the world. Let's build a tower to glorify our own name. And let me find out where I left off. I'm not sure what happened there. Truly as I live. Okay, that's where we were, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, yes, that's what happens. And then what was the result of that?
Confusion.
Tower of Babel. Confusion.
Yeah.
God frustrated our work. So when we don't glorify him, he opposes us. That we're going to see. All right, so another one. Habakkuk 2:14, for all of the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, just like the waters cover the sea. God's glory will go out into all the world. And one more, think about this one. Notice, remember what was the three connecting words from the very beginning? From Genesis 1, I related goodness to
glory,
and what was the third one?
His name.
That's exactly right. So may his name endure forever. His fame continue as long as the sun. May people be blessed in him. All nations call him blessed. Blessed be Yahweh. Yep. This is the personal name of God. I don't like it that we don't translate that. It just annoys me. Because God gave us his name. It's like I've met Reuben. He says to me, you can call me Reuben. And I insist on calling him sir forever. Yes, it's respectful, and God is worthy of all respect. But if he didn't want us to use his name, he wouldn't have given it to us. There's a command that says, don't misuse my name. But what a sweet treasure that God has given us his personal name. So when I read Lord in all caps, I always tell myself, Yahweh, this is the personal God who is a relational and who likes us, Sarah. That's wonderful. So the God of Israel, who alone does wondrous things. Blessed be his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. You see the connection with name and glory and goodness? goodness then being synonymous with blessing. So God's goodness is both a blessing to us, it carries blessing, but then notice it gets reflected back, because what is the invitation here? May all nations what? Call him blessed. So God's blessing is intended to overtake us, and then we're intended to then reflect it back to him. So his glory is to go out into the world. We're to enjoy it, see it, and then reflect it back to him. That's part of what we see God doing in why he created us. So all of what we've seen, just quickly summarize in your own words, can you answer those two questions now a bit more fully? The two questions of, okay, who's God? What's God like? And then why did he create the world? How would you put it in your own words just from what we've seen thus far? Why am I doing this? To solidify your thinking. Help you tell somebody else. Because this is good news we're not intended to keep to ourselves.
We're glorifying to God.
Okay, we're glorifying God. What else? Can I pick on you? How would you say it? It's because you'll use different words than the rest of us. You can keep thinking. I'll come back to you. Anybody else? What? How would you say it? What? Why did God create us?
For his glory.
Okay.
Glorify him.
To glorify him?
To the earth.
To fill the earth? Yeah.
To reflect his goodness.
To reflect his image? Yeah. And you're thinking something?
Yeah. Basically, he wanted his image in the world.
Okay. To display his image to the world? Mm-hmm. Well, anything else?
I was just thinking back. I think it was Peter who talked about partakers in the divine nature.
That's
right. Talking about the Trinity pouring out to each other, and it pours on us. We get his glory, and we're supposed to reflect back.
Yeah.
It's almost like that's how we are partaking in God's divine nature. He's bringing us right in the middle.
Yep.
And he's pouring it out to us, we're pouring it back in, just like the Trinity.
Right. And there's a connection between the goodness of God going out, and then us receiving, and yet also then sharing or reflecting back and magnifying.
Also means he's the source of all glory.
That's right. Okay, so is this the kind of God that you want to hang around with? Right, we just answered the question, why did God create the world? We'll rephrase that in our own words. Do you like this God? I mean, Sarah says he likes you. Would you want to go have lunch with him? Anybody? I would,
of course.
I'd love to. All right, so did God create us in order to bless us so that we might be a blessing to others by magnifying his name, proclaiming his wondrous deeds, right? He alone does wonders in the world. There are no other gods, right? There's only one. And so he alone does wondrous things. And then is that why he created us? To fill the earth with his glory and his goodness? So when you think, why did God create? It's not because he was deficient, but because he was excessively overflowing with who he is and all of the goodness of his qualities, that it would have somehow been wrong to contain it within the Trinity and not let it spread and spill over into the world. And as I was thinking about this, I thought, is there any biblical example of that? And this is in the history of 2 Kings. It's early, maybe chapter 4 or 5. The Syrian army has surrounded Samaria. So this is in the northern kingdom. And they have cut off the food supply. And the city, everybody's starving. Now, this has happened because everybody has disobeyed God. And it is so bad. I'm going to tell you the story because this is in the Bible and this is what happened. It was so bad that one day the king was walking on the wall of the city and two women were fighting. And he said, "Why are you fighting?" And one woman said, "We made a deal and she is not keeping her word." And he said, "What was the deal?" "We agreed that yesterday we would boil her son and eat him, And tomorrow, today, we would boil her son, and eat him. And so we ate my son yesterday, and today she's not giving up her son like she promised. And the king rips his coat and says, what are we to do? Right? That's how bad it was. And if you go back to the very beginning when God said, if you disobey me, this will be the result. It was happening according to his word. But little did they know that God was already working salvation for them, because that night there were four lepers who were starving to death, as you can imagine, everybody's starving, and they said, I'm ready to surrender. I want to go out to the Syrian army. And one of the other guys said, well, they might kill us. And the other guy said, what difference does it make? If we stay here, we're going to die. If we go out there, they'll just kill us. And if that's the case, then we'll just be dead. It's no different. But there's a chance they might be gracious to us, so let's go. So they did. They went out to surrender to the Syrian army, and guess what they discovered? There was no Syrian army. They had run away earlier in the day because God made them hear the sound of a mighty army coming, and they freaked out and left everything and ran. And so the four lepers, this is great. So they sat down in one tent and they had lunch and it got full. And then they carried off a bunch of stuff and they went over in the backside of the wilderness and hid it. And then they went back to the second tent and they grabbed some more stuff and they ran back over and hid it. And they came back together and one of them said, I don't think this is right. This is a day of good news. We need to go tell the king. Because if we don't, we're going to get trouble will overtake us. Punishment will overtake us. That's the word that we use. So what's my point in telling that story? There's so much goodness that it was wrong to keep it to themselves. I think that was in the essence of God's nature, that he's so good. He's so glorious. He's so kind. He's so loving. He's so wonderful that keeping all of that goodness sort of to himself within the Trinity was not right. And there's this nature, it's his nature of goodness to overflow and share. Isn't it good to share when you've been blessed? Doesn't that magnify the blessing? I mean, when you're filled up, you don't want to keep it to yourself. When God has done something amazing and glorious and good in your life, who can be quiet? Right? We can't help but talk about the good things that have happened to us. If it's God or if it's some other good thing. It's Valentine's Day. Maybe some of you are so happy with your spouse, you just can't keep quiet about him or her. That's good. That brings joy to the world. And how many of you, if you love your kids, you've got a picture of them in your wallet, it's really easy to pull it out and show it to a stranger and say, look, this is my wonderful daughter. She's going to college or whatever. Right, we overflow and talk about the things that are good. I think that's part of what we see hinted at in Genesis. By God's goodness appearing again and again and again, and then him saying, go fill the earth. Take my goodness, take my glory, we can use that word, and fill the earth. Because it would be wrong for you to keep it to yourself. So that's part, I think, of the reason why God says, go and talk about this. So when you're filled with goodness, you got to share it. You have to. So think about Jesus. You guys said, what are we doing on time? I have no idea. Oh, really? That's incredibly disappointing. All right. Final word. Jesus says this. Father, here's your question. He was not alone. Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. When you think about a glorious relationship, that's the kind of relationship that existed between the Father and the Son before any of us ever showed up. It was filled with glory and goodness. You get my point. That good relationship that existed between the Father and the Son and the Spirit, who's at the very first page, first scripture, is the Spirit, that just overflows into goodness. And so Jonathan Edwards said it this way. He said, it is in the nature of a spring to overflow. And it's no fault in itself in that spring because it overflows. Right? That's what makes the spring good, is that it can't stay contained. All right, let me just see if, that's too bad. All right, well, I'll stop. You get the point. So we spent a little time in Genesis looking at why did God create the world? And I think the answer is to manifest his glory, so because that's good for us. It's also good and honoring to him, and it's good for the world. That's go fill the earth with my glory. That's what we ought to be about, I think, is what Genesis is pointing. And then Heather is going to help us. What you brought in related to Jesus, we're going to see that explicitly later on. There's a connection with that too. All right. So I ran out of time. So next week, we're going to poke around a little bit more of looking at the freedom with which God created. Was he obligated to create? Did he have to? Or was this a free act? And what does that say about his nature instead of, as opposed to our nature? Okay, let's pray.